Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-7541. 854-7541 or call toll free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how are you doing this wonderful, sunny, crisp morning?
Yeah, not a bad day, really. Yeah. Can't complain. Mm-hmm. No snow. That's good. I get a kick when I hear on television, well, you know, let's hope for some snow is for a white Christmas.
What are they,
what are they, nuts? I don't need snow, that's for sure. At any rate, it is Saturday, December 3rd, 2016. It's 10:04 in the morning, and we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520, at midnight, unless there's a sporting event, and then it will be on after the sporting event. The show is also available live streaming every Saturday morning from 10 to 11. At our website, sapriston.com, that's sapriston.com. And most devices that can connect to the internet can watch the live streaming. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. So if you miss a show, you want to replay a show, all of the shows are archived there. And then finally, last but not least, a free economic report is available bright and early every Saturday morning by The Economist, Stone and McCarthy. Understandable, brief.
Yeah.
And brief to the point. So if you just want to catch up with the economic news for the week, you can do so. So we do encourage you, visit the website, sapriston.com, yeah. sapriston.com.
Yeah, the report today talks about the unemployment, Peter, report that came out, and unemployment's down to 4.6%. I didn't really have time to get into the meat of it, and I don't know if it's because people have dropped off, you know, that the U6 has dropped a bit also. I'll look into it if I get a chance while we're looking and talking to
It'll be interesting because we'll find out how good the statistics are when the unemployment rate goes negative.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
Those, oh, wait a minute. Something is wrong with the way they do this.
Or what they're going to do is just change the way they calculate it so it looks even better.
They always do that. You know, they change.
Bill Clinton was the last one that they changed it. That I can't remember what it was, but it was in the 90s.
It
wasn't he himself. It was
whoever's in charge.
People.
Charge of doing such things.
Yes.
Right now, phone numbers to call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Toll-free 800-879-7541. And as usual, the phone lines are wide open. This is the best time to call. Very easy to get in right now. So once again, 803-1520. Toll-free 800-879-7541. And the markets backed off a little bit last week. Not surprising, you know, after this dramatic run-up after the election, kind of straight up for 3 weeks. And probably everybody all of a sudden, they see the market, you know, maybe hesitating or whatever, mm-hmm. and they go, oh my God, it's going to crash or something, you know. And all the crash mongers come out and you get all your emails, you know. Mm-hmm. Big decline ahead, you know, and so forth. But, you know, I think what you're really seeing is a little bit of rotation going on. And the rotation, to be honest, is a little confusing because it rotates one way, then it rotates back for a few days.
And, it's sort of healthy, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. No, it is good. It's just that I think, you know, those people who are not, you know, actually people and not computers, but people who are trying to decide, you know, which direction to go in, it'll take a little while for this to settle out. Mm-hmm. You know, and actually the Dow did hit a new high last week. And I think the S&P also briefly hit a new high last week. But the Dow has been leading the way. You know, right now the Dow, you know, of the three averages, the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P is the leading one. I think it's up about 10% for the year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 10.
Mm-hmm. And whereas the S&P is up 7.24, you know, and the NASDAQ, NASDAQ
lagging
behind. And it's been hit by a little bit of this rotation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that again on Friday. You know, they hit the tech stocks and they hit a lot of the big NASDAQ stocks.
They might be gearing up for what they think year end. I don't know. It's not,
I don't know.
A little early for window dressing.
Well, they're trying to guess.
You're going to get tax loss selling too.
What's going to work going into 2017? How you want to be positioned? You know, people are trying to decide that. Trying to figure out what's going into the market on a day-to-day basis. More and more difficult because most of the trading is computerized trading, you know. And how do you guess what a stupid computer is thinking? You know, it really isn't.
Right.
It really isn't thinking. So a lot of times people, why'd the market do that? Who knows? You know, all these computer programs were tripped on this particular time, and they hit those areas, you know, because of the computer program. So right now, the consolidation probably healthy. Some of the sectors that have been strong continue. The steel stocks had backed off a little, I noticed, during the week, and all of a sudden they surged again, you know. An old favorite in the steel industry, U.S. Steel, once again, you know, picked up again. And I think it picked up maybe a new high for this rally on Friday. Let's see. The high was 33.78, and the rally was... well, not quite. It missed it by 13 cents, you know. But it came back after dipping back, you know, a nice little consolidation. You're seeing stocks like AK Steel, you know, continuing their rally. And Nucor, you know, continuing its rally. So you're seeing, you know, continuing move in the steel stocks. Energy, obviously, has been strong, especially helped by the OPEC supposed agreement, which remains to be seen, you know. But... so far, I guess the market...
how do you trust? I don't know. But again, I have this conversation, Peter, about oil exporting countries and that, you know, we do not transact business like that. In America, Peter, let's do this. We shook hands. You know, we document it. In the Middle East, and this is not just the last 5 years or 10 years or five centuries or 10 centuries. This is from time immemorial that they... the way they do business is they agree to something and then cheat on it. That's acceptable there.
Yeah, and what happens is, as long as the market wants to believe it, that's fine. It works, you know. So,
but then there's that undercurrent, right?
Yeah.
The backstory.
Well, there is, but I think
rest of the story.
It just depends what people want to believe, you know. And if they want to believe it's going to work, it'll work. And the energy stocks have benefited from it, no question about it.
Well, what do you think? Do you have a gut feel for what you think the real price of oil should be, or what's
no?
Right.
I'm not that smart.
Are you going to ask me?
No,
I'm that smart.
You think you're that smart?
I know I'm that smart. Ask me, I'll tell you. No, it's $60 to $70 a barrel.
Well, based on inflation, probably should be $1,000 a barrel, right? I mean, if you look at what oil was 30 years ago, right?
It's supply and demand.
I know. Well, there you go. All right. But I'm just saying. So people have
to close to 51.68.
Yeah. People have different ways of measuring, you know, how they consider value.
About the 10-year treasury? It went to right under 2.5.
Well, hopefully that was it. I hope so. We thought 2.5 would be it, and remains to be seen, because it did back off on Friday. And,
239 on the close.
Yeah, so pull back a little. But obviously the financial stocks are benefiting from this. Yeah. The bank stocks have been on a tear, you know.
I just know for, my bond portfolios and that we've seen some volatility. And I've just told people, wait till they raise the rates in December, which I think they're going to, and then things should settle down a little. This is... this type of movement for mortgages, for any type of construction loans and other items like that is very damning and can be a halting to the economy, things like that, that if they stay up too high too quickly. This was way too rapid, but I think a great deal of it is speculation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's interesting because, you know, I refinanced a mortgage a couple months ago, and I said to the girl, I said, listen, the 10-year bond's going down. You know, why isn't, you know, the idea of why isn't it going lower, you know, the mortgage rate? She says, it doesn't work off the 10-year bond. It works off the mortgage bonds, all right? You know, so she says that that's where they figure out what the rate should be, you know.
What mortgage bonds?
It's the, you know, mortgage-backed bonds that are out there, okay? That market, okay, is what it works on. Yeah. There's mortgage.
You can't see my puzzled look.
There's mortgage securities that are out there. Fannie Mae, whatever. There's tons of those mortgage securities that are out there.
So, what does she think or he think that the rates of those mortgage bonds?
Well, I'm just saying, who knows what they are? But she's just telling me it isn't a 10-year bond.
It's what came first, the chicken or the egg?
So maybe the mortgage bonds didn't go as badly as the 10-year bond did. I don't know. I have no idea, but I'm just saying, don't say it's off the 10-year bond. I mean, you know.
Well, I have friends that are mortgage brokers.
And they say it's a 10-year bond?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, they don't know what they're talking about. But anyway.
Obviously,
your
banker does.
Yeah, mortgage brokers.
So we've seen a 42.8% increase in about 5 weeks in that rate, if we take it from 2.5 to 1.75.
Yeah, no question.
That's absolutely astronomical and ridiculous.
It is.
So what, right? It is what it is.
It is what it is. There no question go. About it. So, right. So we shall see. We had a target of 2.5. We had a target of 2.5. Will 2.5 stop it? Possible. I mean, it may be a non-event when they raise the rates. You might see interest rates come down.
Oh, they're going to.
I mean, they're definite. You're promising that.
What's today? What time is it? What I believe.
Let's write that.
Well, down is relative. Yeah. Where is it going to go? Maybe when they raise rates, it'll be 2.1, and that's where they'll stay. But I don't think they're going to be 2.5%. You don't get a 43% increase because you're raising 0.25%. Although, if you're raising the Fed funds target from 25 to 50, that's 100% increase.
Yeah, but see, the problem is, there's a lot of other things going on. It's like the Chinese are trying to stop the plunge of the yuan,
and they're very mad at us.
And they're mad, you know,
because we accepted a call from Taiwan.
Yeah, it's a shame, but anyway, but they're selling off U.S. Treasuries, okay, to back their currency, and that's another factor. There's other factors, you know.
Oh, there's always another story.
There's other factors here beside what was his name years ago? Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
What was the saying?
Rest of the story?
The
I already said
story.
That you weren't.
You already used it, but you didn't give him credit for saying it.
Well, okay, all right, okay, Michelle.
So I want to make sure. I don't want you plagiarizing.
No,
there.
I would never.
You know,
do
it's
that.
A shame, you know. Give us a call. Phone lines are wide open, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Toll free, 800-879-7541. Also, as the U.S. dollar keeps surging, those companies that get goods from overseas, are benefiting, no question
about
it.
But the negative part of that is?
What?
The companies that sell products
companies
overseas.
Sell products. Yeah, there's always the other, rest of the story, right?
Is that the yin and the yang?
Yeah, exactly. But, look for those companies that like the Walmarts, for example. A lot of their goods are produced overseas, right?
A lot?
A lot. Maybe
Most.
All of it. Although it was kind of funny, I went for a sale to Kohl's, right? And I have one of these $10 certificates they give you when you sign up with something. And it was due to expire. So I said, I'll go there. I need a shirt. So I went there, and I'm looking at the shirts, and I said, you got to be kidding me, all right?
They were all made in the United States?
No. But here's the shirt. It was an Arrow shirt, okay?
Yeah.
And it says, retail price $40, made in Nicaragua. I said, $40, and it's made in Nicaragua? You got to be kidding me. That shirt should be $10, all right? Anyway,
so
they have it on sale at $20, when it comes down to it. I said,
it's originally listed at 30. They mark it up to 40 and then mark
they
it
back
down to
20. Yeah, I know, but I just got a kick out of that. I thought shirts would be a lot cheaper than that.
Of course,
I very rarely shop for shirts.
You right? and I are very.
Most of my shirts are 30 years old.
Mine are Land's End, the dress shirts, and right. then the shirts like the one I have on now are my son's. I'm glad they're dressed. dress hogs, and so I get their hand-me-downs and jeans, too.
Yep. 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Give us a call. Easy to get in. Phone line's wide open. We're going to go first to Pete in East Aurora. Good morning.
Hi. Morning, Peter, David.
Thank you, Peter, for calling very much. Thank you.
You saved us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I was feeling sorry for you guys.
Oh, yeah. We could feel the sympathy out there. We hope some more people have sympathy. But anyway.
Yeah. How about a couple of stocks, a gold stock to begin with? I'd like to know where you feel it represents a breakout. How about GOLD? It's an expensive high-end gold stock.
GOLD. Oh, my God. It's basing nicely. That's what I can say. You know.
Well, yeah. I'm in at $72.
Good.
With a stop at 69 and hoping it's bottom.
Well, 73, 76 on the close.
I mean, it's been going sideways now, since the November 14th. So you got about 3 weeks of sideways action there. Unfortunately, a breakout's so much higher, it'd be painful waiting for that, okay?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's up around the 92 area, which you'd like to see,
yeah,
you know. So that's really a breakout.
Yeah.
But, you know, the breakout of the consolidation area, okay, would be above, say, 75, 89. Okay,
75,
so if you could go above 75, 89, you broke the consolidation out, all right? And then there's this little thing that you call... that I use in one of the programs is called the volatility stop, you know, which has been on a sell for some time. And that volatility stops at 74.92. So a close above 74.92, you know, would give you a potential buy signal, you know. So you know,
okay.
based on the volatility stop, this has been a sell since 87, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was in it higher, and I remember getting stopped out at 93. I can see why you're saying that.
Mm-hmm. 92,
93 is the real breakout.
Yeah, but this little base, like I say, if you just get that move above the, you know, what is it I said, 7520 area, yeah.
And Morgan Stanley just Thursday upgraded it from underweight to overweight. So their previous ones,
always helps.
Yeah, previous analysts have been downgrading it, and so hey, you never know. Maybe they're starting. To
maybe
kick
they
in.
Know what they're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this particular one follows the bullion directly.
Yeah, this is considered a lot. Everybody talks about this as one of the highest quality gold stocks. You know.
Well, I think they're making money at this level.
Yeah, and, you know, for those people who don't know what GOLD is, it's Rand Gold is the name of the stock.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
South African. Right?
How about another one, a silver stock, First Majestic? It's AG.
Boy,
Albert
I'll
George.
Tell you, hasn't that been a wild stock? God. I actually was in that for a short time, made a little money on it, but... not in any of that. It's been the same thing. I mean, you know, you had a gigantic run-up of this stock from, like, the 2 area, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In several months, it got up near 20, right?
Yeah.
And then all the way back down to about 7, the 7-8 area. And this is one that since October, about October 10th now, has been going sideways, building a beautiful base.
Yeah,
and Friday
stopped,
was a nice move on tremendous. Looks like very big move up on it. You know,
it says on November 30th they breached their 50-day moving average.
Yep,
in a bullish manner.
It was good. I think I'm in the mid eights and stop at 7. Does that seem reasonable to you?
Yeah, because the base breakout would have been 972 and it closed at 982. Okay, so it broke out of the base. And probably would have a stop right now at, I don't know if I'd put it that close. Yeah. Let me
should verbalize what you're thinking so people
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying.
770 is a close one, but I'm afraid it might get taken out.
Yeah,
there.
That's awful.
Do you see that one?
Well, I mean, basically under 8, you know, would be a possibility. Under 770, yeah, I can see that. So if you're willing, yeah. To go that far back on the stop, you know, no problem with it. You know, a real short-term player, believe it or not, would put a stop under 9. You know.
I believe that. Well, I think SLV is basing pretty good. The ETF for silver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so far it's been doing that, and I think first potential target on this, if it continues the rally, is probably up around 10.50 to 11. You know.
Mm-hmm. And then you'd raise the stop to 9, something like that.
Depending on what the action was going to that point, you know, and you might even be able to see it did, as I think you mentioned, it broke out above the 50-day.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it broke out above the 50-day, and the 50-day right now is trading at, around 873, you know, and it's been dropping. So probably the stop might come 8.25, you know, somewhere around there.
Yeah, okay. All right, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you very much for the call.
Thanks, have a great weekend.
Okay, you too.
Thank you.
Phone numbers to call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. Go next to Tom in Amherst. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Okay.
Good morning, sir. Good, thank you.
Got a couple stocks here. One is, it's kind of been all over the place the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's TRTN, Triton. It's a container corporation, and it's gone from 11 to 21 and back down to 18. What's your opinion on the point and figure chart on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back to that. Somehow I lost it, you know. But, you know, it ran right into resistance, okay, which is kind of key resistance around 2090, and I don't know where it got up to. Did it get up
it
close to
It got up
that?
21.
21, so, yeah.
1923
on the clock. And as somebody said, you know, one trading room I've kind of followed for years, you know, they said, you know, resistance is not a number, it's an area, you know. So, like, if you say 2090 is resistance, you're not looking for things to stop dead, you know, at 2090. So, you know, it hit that resistance area, and it died, you know, temporarily, you know, pull back, which is fine, you know. And, and then looking at it, I would expect support to be around 1740 or so on it if it pulled all the way back to the previous, you know, breakout point, you know. So it'd be around 1740.
Then well, the looking, breakout point, I thought, was around $11 a share. I mean, it got down.
I'm looking at a bar chart, though. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
Looking at the bar chart, you know, it rallied up to 1760, came back down, rallied up to 1740, came back down. So that general area, okay, it broke out above that area, which was a base that was built for, you know, quite some time.
Okay, where do you see this possibly going to?
Well, if it can take out that 21 area, okay, the next level would be, believe it or not, somewhere around 30.
Boy, that's pretty good upside potential.
Great upside potential. And even beyond
the understatement of the day.
Yeah, and even beyond that, longer term, if this continues, it's possible to get the low 40s, right?
You know, it's a container company that does a lot of business with China, and I was kind of worried because trade embargoes possibly being put on China. And I think that would affect this company.
That's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
I imagine, sure. Yeah, there's not a lot of analysts that follow this either.
Which is a help.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah,
it is.
Cowen
really
just upgraded November 22nd from market perform to outperform, 17 to 23 is their target.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but you have to look at the action of the stock. If investors in this were worried about that, it wouldn't be acting as well as it is, you know.
Well, maybe are they worrying about it more over the last week, and that's why it came down?
No, I mean, this thing had a gigantic spike rally, like sure. everything else, okay? Like you said, this thing ran from November 7th, you know, up to that 21 area.
Yeah, but it went from 12 to 21. That's yeah. more than gigantic. That's oh, yeah. tremendous.
Exactly. So I'm saying a little bit of a pullback is expected.
Got
you
it.
Know, is a little bit of a pullback is expected. Yeah.
Okay, guys, I got another one here. UPS. Tell me what you think about that one.
UPS, huh?
People are stealing their packages. I know that. I saw something.
An early Christmas.
Christmas for those that want to, yeah. Wow.
Boy, I'll tell you, that's looks beautiful, to tell you the truth. Do you own UPS?
Yeah. I have some options on it, but they're LEAP options.
Okay. And let's see. Look at this. Let me look at the point and figure chart real quick. Boy, I mean, you know, you look at this thing, and for it broke out of basically a at least 2-year consolidation. You know,
well, everybody, there's so much more online yeah. shopping, and they've got to deliver them, and
but they got a lot of competition too.
Oh, of course, yeah. But that brings out the best in us.
Okay, guess it must be.
I mean, after breaking out of the consolidation, I mean, I would say, you know, the next target at a minimum is 121, you know.
Okay. Where do you see support on this?
Well, I would see support probably around 102 to 104.
Okay. But not that much upside potential then.
No, the next minimum target's 121, all right? You know, that's really yes. a minimum target. I mean, if I did...
That's only 4 points
two,
away,
three,
though.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Don't mind me, I'm counting. 20, all right. 20, that's a one-point chart, 360. And 60 off 81. Horizontal count on the point and figure chart's 140.
That sounds positive.
Yeah. No, I can come up with a better one. You want a better one? No.
No.
You don't like this answer?
You don't like it? I can give you another one.
Right? No, I'd be long gone. Believe me. Guys. Good analysis, as usual.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care. Thanks for calling.
Okay. We're in a very jovial mood today.
Yeah, to say
we?
The least, yeah. Because there's no snow. That's why if it was snow, I wouldn't be jovial.
I'm waiting for the local Kenmore North Buffalo, well-known service company that does a lot of repair work for snowmobiles and snow blowers and lawn equipment for the professionals in our neighborhood. And I called them, it was about 3 weeks ago, and said, hey, can you come and pick it up? And, you know, because it's so heavy, and it's trying to get one of my sons to do it. By the time he gets home, he's got a truck, but they're close. So mm-hmm. you pay him $50, they come pick it up, take it back. So, okay, yeah, we'll put you on the list. And I said, don't forget, you know, my grandkids go to school with your children. And, oh, yeah, sure, we'll take care of it. And 2 weeks, that was 3 weeks ago. So I know it's going to happen. They're going to come and grab it, and then we're going to get the foot and a half of snow, and it'll still be sitting at the shop.
Be careful what you say.
No, they said an inch or two.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we can
yeah.
handle that.
Anyway, while we're waiting for phone calls, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. We're going to take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco of Saperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. We're toll free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Victor in Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Enjoying the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Just a basic question for you, and I've never really asked you this question. I was thinking about it when you were talking about your boxes.
Yeah, we can't answer basic questions, you know.
No. Well, with the boxes, I mean, that helps you with buy and sell decisions?
With the boxes?
Yes.
Yeah, no question about that.
Okay, and your boxes are real positive for a stock. I mean, your boxes say it's right. Before you make a buy to sell decision, are you also looking at valuation? Or does the boxes take into consideration? I mean, if the boxes say it's a go, and the thing is selling at its highest P in the last 10 years and price to, and all this other mumbo jumbo, do you ever find that the boxes, it's a go when you check valuations and it's, hey, this thing is not cheap anymore? I mean, how do you weigh the two, or you don't? Do you mean, well, what's your take on that?
Well, I mean, Willard might give you a different answer. You know, my answer is I will take a quick look to see if there's any bad news out there or something, you know, if there's something that I didn't know about. But a lot of times, to tell you the truth, it works out that I make a mistake. For example, I'll give you one. You know, a trading service I followed recommended on Friday or Thursday, whatever it was, Stone Energy, all right? And it was a trading stock, and the stock was trading around 5-something, right? And it met all the criteria to buy it, you know, as far as technically went. And so I go into it, and I start looking at it, and some of these energy companies have problems, you know, and they're mentioning all these difficulties, the company, even the company itself, you know, mm-hmm. you know, we have to watch the debt levels, we have to do this and that, we don't know this, we don't know that. And I said, you know, I'm not going to pay attention. Stock went from 5 to 8.
Okay.
Overthought.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
In half an hour, you know, so.
But I mean, if you're talking about, say, a Fortune 500, S&P 500 company, mm-hmm. a big blue type of stock, and your boxes say it's it looks good on the boxes, but you check back 30 years and the thing is selling at high valuations. I mean, you say, well, I'm going to back off. Or do you think the boxes? That doesn't seem like the boxes would take that into consideration at all, do they?
Well, they should, because theoretically, the idea behind technicals is that everybody who knows anything about the stock, it's in the chart, all right? Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's all built into
it's
the
all
box.
Built in, but, all right, you know, you have to make some judgments as to where the risk is. You know, in other words, if say the box gave you a buy and I would have to put a stop 20% down or 30% down, I might say no, you know. You know, I don't want to be in a stock where I'm going to be wrong only if it drops 20 or 30% on me.
Yeah, that's a big
exactly. So you have to take that into account. And to be honest, you know, with charts, at a certain point in time, you've got the crazies who are really running the chart. All right.
Sure.
You know, for example, let's talk about Dry Ship, right? And you see that stock went from what 2 or 4 or something to 120 in a week, right?
Right.
So now, say I had a buy signal up at 90 or something, you know, am I going to take that? Probably not, you know.
Mm-hmm. What I'm watching real close, I do my own particular technical. I like the moving averages. I'm looking at this Cisco Systems. I mean, that's a quality company. I've sold some 2750 puts going out 2 months. What's the buy on your boxes? A buy on, what are you start nibbling at Cisco here?
Okay, well, it's gradually been heading down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I mean, if I look at a regular chart, it's sitting right on its 200-day moving average, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly would want that to hold. You also, if I look at the you know, the bar chart again first, all right? Supports at 29.40 and supports at, looks like, 20. Well, hang on a second. Let me, I'm a little bit off here, but and say 2840. All right. So you got support at 2840 and 2940 on the regular chart. Now, if I look at the point and figure chart, see, that's the thing. See, now, that's why a lot of times, you know, I don't like to use just the point and figure chart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The point and figure chart gives you a bigger picture of what the trend is. Now you'll want to go down to the bar chart and take a little closer look, okay? Now, if you were working strictly off the point and figure chart, support's back at 23 or 24.
Yeah, big difference.
Big difference, right.
Yeah, I sold at 20. I take Cisco at 2750. There's ways you can sell upside calls. I mean, there's a way you can nibble it back. The other one is Visa. Visa, I got burned on a little. I sold this 77.50 puts, and I just rolled down to 75.
Mm-hmm.
Like I took a little bit of a hit there. I love the company. I don't own it yet. I love to own it long term. I just want to get it at a price that I'm comfortable with. I think if I get it, if it stays at 75, I think I'm gonna take it.
Well, see,
what's your thoughts on Visa?
Okay, so if I do the point and figure chart, you're right. Support 74.75.
Right.
You know, worst case 72. All right,
but close at 75.72.
Yeah, but 74.75, and the long term trend line on the point and figure chart's around 72 right now.
Right. All right. Great company. I mean, it something came up about Europe, blah, 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 blah. But 5 years from now, if we get any kind of market, Visa is not going to be in the low 70s. I know that.
So no question. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Great show. Hey, thanks for the information. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay.
Thanks. Have a great
thanks
weekend.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, you too. Have a good year.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Or toll-free, 800-879-7541. That's 800-879-7541. Phone lines are wide open. And, as everybody knows, President-elect Trump has been talking about lowering corporate taxes.
Yes, sir.
And there's an article in Barron's this weekend about how that would help a lot of retail stores that tend to pay higher taxes than large multi, corporations that have.
Oh, okay. Okay, sure.
And, for example,
that aren't as well diversified.
Rite Aid's, they're just Rite Aid, 41% effective tax rate, okay? CVS, 39%, Whole Foods, 39%, so on down the list. Macy's, 36%.
Wow.
So be an interesting, but they also mentioned what you should do is, certain retailers are just in trouble,
Right.
And they got problems. But if you have, companies that have been around a long time and don't look like they're in serious trouble, they may benefit by a potential tax
rate. And it's not going to go to 15%.
Right.
It's going to be 22, 25.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's still a huge win.
For example, a CVS, if it's at 39, that's cutting it almost in half.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That's big, no question about it. So.
Well, maybe our pills will cost a little less.
Depends what pills you take. Anyway, go next to Jack in Lockport. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Good morning, sir.
It's good to be on the Peter and David show.
Oh.
What happened? Willard retire or what the heck?
Oh, no,
he's on his way back.
He's on his Florida sojourn, but he'll be back next week.
Okay, good. I enjoy all three of you. So.
And he's working hard down in Florida.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Victor mentioned Visa. I'd purchased Visa just before or right after the split, I think just before, and I got a little early because it went down, but it's grown since. And it's not a fast score, but a steady.
Yeah, it's not a real, surprisingly, it's not real volatile, So.
Yeah, but it's a nice steady stock,
yep.
good company. So, one of my problems is I am an investor. I don't just buy and sell, but I like to sometimes make a purchase in my IRA because there's no tax consequences if I sell early, but I end up keeping stocks. But I had one, JetBlue, I've had for years. Hmm. It went up into the 20s about a year or so ago, mid-20s or so, and I should have sold it. I let it go, and it went down. Now it's climbing back up. And what do you think might be a good place to, or what's your data say as far as maybe a time to sell it?
Well, in general, you know, looking at the sector, you know, the airlines have been extremely hot in here.
They have, huh?
You know, quite, you know, right across the board, you know.
And that's JBLU.
Yeah,
in case
and JBLU.
Right. Yeah, JBLU. Right.
All right. The next resistance area you want to get above is 2150. All right.
Close at 2093.
Yep. So that's the key area. You know, that's a very important resistance in that 2150 area.
2150, okay.
Yeah. So now, if you took that out, next resistance would be 2350. And if you're lucky, and if this airline boom continues, all right, you have a shot at 27.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He likes that.
Yeah.
But keep a close eye, because you got to take that 2150. That's very, very significant resistance there.
All right. All right. I'll look for that. I think if I can get 25, hit 25, I may be thinking about selling at that time. Like I said, I've had it for a number of years. And, yeah, so that sounds good. Well, thank you. I appreciate your advice. And, of course, as always, really appreciate your show and, you know, all the callers.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
Okay. Bye.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520 or toll free, 800-879-7541. I'm going to go next to Dan in Niagara Falls.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Okay.
Good, Dan.
How are
nice
you
to talk to you.
Good, 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 guys. A couple that I'd like to talk about. They're in the technology sector, so I'm somewhat somewhat hesitant.
It's a tough sector right now.
Somewhat hesitant, but there's a couple that look pretty strong, so I'd just like to get you guys to take a look at them and see what you think. First one is WDC.
Western Digital.
Yes, sir. This thing looks like it just wants to, it's getting ready to take off. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not backing. It didn't back off at all in here. You know, and let me see. Next.
Now, you know, again, I kind of know you guys, you know, talk about it quite a bit as well. You know, if you're in a sector that's struggling, it may not be a good idea to get into something. But I don't know. Like,
well, in general, I mean, you know, the problem is, you know, and what everybody runs into, the big problem is that you try so many different things, you know, and don't stick to one thing.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you might have a rule, if the sector's weak, I'm not interested, right?
Uh-huh.
And you can just look at that. If I had invested in that one, you know.
You can always pick those out.
Yeah, you can always do that, all right? Yeah. But you have to come up with some consistent approach, you know, that you're going to use, you know.
Uh-huh.
And
the majority of the time, you'll be sitting in the one that doesn't go up. But the Western Digital looks good.
Exactly.
But looking at Western Digital, key resistance about 65.50, all right?
63.35 on the close.
Right.
So.
So you take out 65.50, believe it or not, and of course, you know, what the technology sector knows, you have the potential for 85, all right?
Okay. So you'd want to see it first take 65 up.
65.50 or so, yeah, right around that area. Yeah, about 65.50. Nice.
So you wouldn't meddle with it till then, Peter?
No, probably not, because it's too close to that resistance,
Okay, the other one is Applied Materials.
Mm-hmm.
That one is also behaving very, you know, relatively strong relative to what's happening.
Relatively, yeah.
Yeah, AMAT.
Man. Yeah, pull back a little, AMAT. Had a nice day Friday, which was a weak day for the technologies in general. Had that one big day drop on Thursday. Bothers me a little.
I think even Western Digital got hit pretty hard and then came right back.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was big volume. That was like the highest volume in months.
And I know that bothers me, too, people, when I see that. When you see a stock take a big hit and then come right back up.
Yeah, but
usually that's an indication somebody knows something.
It used to be, you know, when I'm beginning to wonder, you know, I keep mentioning these computerized programs, right?
Uh-huh.
And like I say, do computers know anything? No. say all the computers, they all got tripped on Thursday, right?
Mm.
And therefore it jumped back up when once the game was over.
Yeah.
So what meant something many years ago when people used to make decisions, you know, could be a lot different, you know, no question about it. And what I liked was, you know, the resistance that it took out was somewhere around, let's see, say 31, all right? So it had taken out the 31, and hopefully you would like that 31 to hold. It blew right through the 31, but then it recovered it again, you know.
Close at 31.44.
Yeah. So I find that kind of encouraging. I see the 50-day is sitting there not too far below it.
Okay.
At 29.63.
So you want to see it behave relatively strongly around 31.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And certainly want to hold that 50-day, which is 29.63, you know.
Okay. All right. Do you guys have any time?
Oh, we got all the time in the world.
You know, just in general, wanted to get your thoughts. Like, a lot of the sectors that have really gotten strong, like banking and...
metals, you know, and...
materials, metals and that.
Energy.
Infrastructure. I don't know if this is just a quick rebalance, and it's all going to come settling back down again, and therefore there's not a lot of long-term strength in these. What do you guys think about that?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, if the plans that, you know, Trump has put out are followed through on, then it's probably long-term possibility there. You know? And that's the catch. You don't know if all of a sudden you're going to start seeing things come out, you know, that, oh, they're not going to do this, they're not going to do that,
right.
Then you don't know. But, you know, right now people have to kind of make decisions on saying, well, this is, you know, what the election meant, this is the direction things should be headed, mm-hmm. and, you know, so, yeah, a lot of these things may have gotten a little ahead of themselves, but mm-hmm. I think you still have to look at them in pullbacks and say,
okay,
maybe it's a buying opportunity, you know. Right.
So then maybe look at these sectors when there is a bit of a settling period.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel more comfortable doing that, no question about it.
Let's say, for example, just to pick one, like mm-hmm. just say XLF, let's say, right?
Okay.
I mean, if you look at that, that's really taken off. So maybe that's what I was kind of thinking, you know, wait for a few weeks, watch it settle back down again. And
that,
then maybe
I mean, that's a possibility. But the interesting thing about XLF is that it had a nice pop, you know, from, you know, somewhere under around 20, say, okay, so 19 and a half, really.
Okay.
All right. And then it had a quick run up of several days to a high around 22.33.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, 22.33, not around. But anyway, so it went up to 20. And then it really went sideways for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days.
Hmm.
It consolidated for 10 days. So you would have bought the next breakout, you know, which would have been somewhere around the 22.60 area, 22.70. So it actually consolidated already and then broke out again, you know.
So that time frame for you is enough to start looking.
Oh, definitely, you? Definitely. Yeah, things happen a lot faster now, you know.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And a 10-day consolidation, you know, is a nice consolidation, you know.
Right. Okay, guys. Great. Nice talking again.
Well, nice talking to you.
Have a good weekend.
You too. You do the same. Thank you.
Well, we have time for a few more calls. 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Or toll-free, 800-879-7541. That's 803-1520 or 800-879-7541. And, you know, looking back at that energy sector, boy, I'll tell you, a lot of stocks popped 30% that day.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as they announced, that agreement. So, and I know, I should have gone, caller a while back pointed out Whiting Petroleum.
Yes.
WLL. I think it was somewhere in the 9 area, 9-10. And I think it got as high as 14, you know, on that pop.
Yeah.
Nice move in a stock like that. So
well, I would think they'd be a big benefactor of the tax structure changes that could be implemented also.
That and regulations.
Regulate, big time.
Yeah,
sure.
Looking big time in regulations. They're also saying that, you know, a lot of supposedly intelligent energy investors say if oil stays over $50 a barrel, these companies really
can make money,
benefit, you know, mm-hmm. from this. And they're all different. Some of them have very low cost, stock, you know, oil production, you know, is what I'm trying to say.
Oil in the barrel.
Right.
Out of the ground.
And matter of fact, one analyst, you know, in this article on energy mentioned he prefers the low-cost producers, and one of them he mentioned was Parsley Energy, who I've never heard of,
mm-hmm.
but it's a PE. PE is the symbol on it, you know. And interestingly, that one just broke out, pulled back to the breakout point right in the 37 area. Mm-hmm. So that one does look kind of intriguing. And there's one, believe it or not, Diamondback Energy. You know what the symbol is? Fang, F-A-N-G. Is that because it's a diamondback snake and it's Fang for the...
Oh, it's just snake. Yeah, I was thinking Phyllis Diller's husband.
Oh, jeez. And that one, you know, popped up and now it's pulling back, you know, to, you know, the area around 105, 106. Mm-hmm. So, once again, you know, some traders I know, they watch what the breakout was. They like to see that the breakout area holds on a pullback, and that's how they place their trades, you know. And the last one that he mentioned was Pioneer Natural Resources, mm-hmm. which is PXD. And that's the same thing. It popped out, you know, above resistance, and now it's pulling back, you know, to an area. Of course, these are high-priced stocks, too.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, they don't like buying $180 stock, you know. Yeah,
but so. It's a lot easier or more efficient and cost-effective to do it than it used to be, too.
Oh, no question about that. You and as I've said before, the price of the stock shouldn't matter. It's just the
dollars. Absolutely.
It's just the dollars that you want to invest.
Right,
you know?
I would think, right?
Yeah, that's the way I think. Yeah. A lot of people don't think that way. It's the way I think.
Thank God.
Because I've had people call, oh, that's too high. I said, well, how much were you going to invest, you know? I mean, I've bought at times 10 shares
right,
in Apple.
That's what I mean.
You know, 10 shares in Apple.
Yeah.
And I go, well, geez, if Apple goes from 100 to 200, you know, not bad.
No. Right? Sweet.
That's a, whatever, $1,000 gain or something like that, you know, at that point. So, I never worry about the price of the stock. Time for, you know, one or two more calls.
Yeah, and I just like to reiterate that, we are a caller-driven program, and we have some of the best callers. They're educated and, in a lot of cases, sophisticated, and yet, you know, can ask questions that, you know, all of us can understand. And there are no silly questions or dumb questions. You don't understand something, give us a call. We'll try and answer it. Mm-hmm. But we really appreciate the callers. So.
Oh, yeah. And it's surprisingly, you know, one area that has been forgotten is the coal sector. Although, as I mentioned to somebody who called on KOL, which is the ETF, I said, this thing's been going up for a year,
you know,
steadily. Yeah. So it wasn't computers. It was people who knew things. And what's happened is coal prices are rising,
you know,
and there's a lot of reasons for that, you know. But they said that while coal production in the U.S. has gone down because of China, it stayed steady. You know, as far as usage for the for using energy, coal.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, they like to pollute and they don't really care about regulation over there for some reason. So.
So they mentioned they did a big thing on Arch Coal, which I haven't had a time to look at. But Arch Coal went into bankruptcy.
Right,
stock became worthless. You know, but came back out of bankruptcy. And, they said they're going to lose a ton of money this year, but next year they're going to make a ton of money, no question about it. So
once they get restructuring.
So you have to look at, how things are perceived and, oh, my God, coal's dead. Well, coal's not dead, no question about it.
And we're not talking about, too, when we're talking about reducing regulation, that they should take all, the filters off and let's get back to soot in the backyard. No, we're just talking about the handcuffs of busy work that, a lot of these regulatory authorities put us through.
Well, it was interesting. You see, Trump was talking about putting this I know he's in government, the person, but also that he's from one of the coal states as Secretary of Energy,
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah,
so that'd be kind of interesting.
Coal is back.
So coal may be back, no question about it. The fact with coal is that you can scrub the coal. It's very expensive, to invest in the technology for making it much cleaner. Right.
But I'm not talking about taking those handcuffs out. I'm talking about the person that could be creative and figuring a way to get coal out of the ground more efficiently, but they can't do that because they've got them filling out five different reports all the time that are nonsensical.
I agree. So hopefully a lot of that's going to go away. So right now, the market basically is going through a little bit of sector rotation. Keep an eye on it. I noticed like the semiconductors, which have been the strongest group for the year, had a bit of a pullback, and last week as people are rotating and taking some profits. And as you mentioned, it's end of the year, it's end of the year strategies now. What do you want to be in for next year? That type of thing.
I would think you got profit taking. At some point, people have tax losses.
A lot of things will be going on this last month of the year. I'm going to go quickly to Ed. We got about 2 minutes. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Ed.
Yes, I'm interested in Plains All American Pipelines, PAA.
PAA.
I haven't looked at that in a long time.
Well, that's another one. You know, it broke out. Now it's pulling back, all right? And it's in an area where it potentially it could be bought in here. You know, right around the 31, 32 area.
Yeah, close at 3203.
Yeah.
Nice well, chart.
My charts say it's got an objective of 23.
Well,
and I don't understand.
PAA.
I thought it broke out.
Well, that's interesting because
sure, it's not 32.
Price objective I have on it, on the service we use, is 38.
Oh, great.
So, I knew you'd like that a lot better.
Do you have time for one more?
Real quick.
Spirit Airlines.
S?
S-A-V-E.
S-A-V-E. Save. Yeah, about that. Oh, that looks nice.
Yeah, I thought it broke out good.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
They have a new CEO, and I think he's a little bit smarter than the old one. They're not. I don't think they're going to be competing in the major airports. They're just going for the ones where there's underserved.
Yeah, 56
yeah,
and a quarter.
Yeah, I'd be
close.
I'd be
very
looking
nice.
Next target between about 60 and 65.
Uh-huh. The Barron's doesn't give an increase in earnings for next year. It's lower. And so that's befuddling to me. That
well cost of
up.
Fuel.
That could be, you know, fuel prices going up. That's a possibility. But on the chart, it looks very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you much.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Okay. That's about it. Keep a little powder dry, as we always say. Make sure you do your own research. And a lot of our callers, as you can tell, do. And we'll be back next week. Take care.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.